Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Be seated for a moment. We'll go into the Word of God here just momentarily. Anybody have a testimony? I should say y'all, I know, have one, a testimony. Which one would like to share it? Sister Hannah, you have a testimony you'd like to share? One microphone? Lord wasn't going to let me go on. I knew you had something burning in your heart here. You can sing a song if you like to.
Oh, no, thank you.
That thing got to go up to your mouth.
Okay, well, I've had this bladder infection for about a month now, and I got prayer on Sunday, and after I got prayer, I wasn't hurting anymore, and I haven't been hurting since, so praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Sometimes we carry things too long and there's answers. There's answer in prayer. There's answer at the altars. Amen. You know, we need to have reverence for the altar of God. And when we go to the altars, we go with the reverence of God. And there's been many, many people that have come into the altars afflicted, burdened, and left free. Amen. Don't happen everywhere, saints of God. If you think I'm standing here taking the glory of that, if it was me, brethren, we would just, like I told a man one day, I said, hey, if it was me, and I know I got to be careful how I speak because I could take away the power that God has granted to us as the children of God. So, you know, I just made a statement. I find myself struggling here. I just made a statement to Brother Chuck sitting back there. I was reading the Word, and I said, I marvel how Paul could speak with such a humility, but then turn around in the same breath and talk and bring forth such a strength of what he has in God to give to the people. You know, and I believe that there's a real revelation and a real secret in that. You could present a false humility to such a way that you destroy the power of God. You know, and we could say, oh, I'm the least of all and I'm not worth nothing and this and that. And yeah, you ain't worth nothing. You know, but we're sons of God with all power and all authority, with an anointing and with a commission, with a vision. You take a sheriff when he pulls you over, or a highway patrolman, you know, he knows that there's an authority behind him. There's a real, genuine authority that's right behind him all the time. And he's got to go forth with a power of that authority, and he's got to utilize it. And we got to do the same thing. It thrills my heart to know that the Lord touched old sister. I don't like to see people in pain, number one, carrying afflictions. And these bladder infections, you know, you think, you know, a lot of people deal with them. They can cause some real problems going to the kidneys. People on dialysis sometimes from the complications caused from allowing bladder infections and things like that in their body. I told her dad not many days back, I said, you need to go to the doctor or get in the altars, one of the two. She chose the altars. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Lord's good to us, isn't he? Let's pray. Most gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word of God. And Father, we ask you as we stand before you tonight, Father, to help us, direct us. Father, let us speak something tonight, Lord, that would become alive and quickening, Lord God, that would help to pierce the heart, the understanding of man. Help us, Lord Jesus. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, oftentimes when we speak, we use allegories, types and shadows. Lord Jesus used them continually, talked them parabolically, talked about things that people understood in his time, in his day. He knew that they knew the necessities of preparation of ground before you plant seed. He knew that they knew that there was a season, that there was a time to plant, sow, time to reap. He was interested in their natural lives, natural businesses and things, and livelihood that they could make a way for themselves. Many times he met needs, naturally speaking, adding an increase to the loaves, the fishes and things, to bring a way to sustain life in people. So he was concerned about those things as well. But there was utilizing of those things to take something that a man knew, something that he comprehended, something that he understood, and then take him into a revelation of another dimension or another realm. Brother Pike was ever so gifted at the very same thing. If he had found himself walking into brethren, they was in conversation, it could have been talking about airplanes. He wouldn't be sitting listening to that conversation, even though there was things he liked about aviation. And he understood the allegories of it and things of such. And naturally speaking, he was, I could say, somewhat infatuated possibly with aviation and the career and the things around it. But he would not enter into that conversation for long. He would be converted to the things of the Spirit, to the things of life, eternal, continually, was a master at it, continually. So again, when we speak, so oftentimes we'll find ourselves using parabolic speech or something that you know or understand and try to go into another realm of thinking. As I'm going to make an attempt to express something that maybe I feel that God's helped me with, or maybe that I could understand, that I could try to impart or pass on. You know, we find that that's the whole struggle going on in the scriptures and the word. It's God-breathed. Breathed of God. It's God's mind, God's will. But then yet, through the generations and through time, we find ministers, apostles, prophets, and we find them giving their life in trying to comprehend, yes, but not just comprehend. If we just want to sit and take all this vast information in, we swell up and pop. And what good has it done anybody? But when we comprehend, we want to be able to bring forth the comprehension to others. And no matter how elementary you are in the Word of God, it still brings edification to others. It's edifying. The simplest of doctrine, the most elementary of doctrine, is going to bring life to people when they see that somebody's got it. Give you an example. As a grandparent or as a dad, either way, I witnessed it both. I could remember my children when they would come home and they want to rehearse their ABCs. There was never a part of you thought, well, you little stupid thing, I learned that 20 years ago. You never did that, did you? I mean, if you did, you're some kind of most ignorant. But I mean, there should have been something in you that just, you know, you could say proud, you know, or pride rised up and go, boy, that's my little guy, man. But there is a sense of something rising up in you, of a satisfaction to know that your child, if it's your child or grandchild, whatever it is, or a friend's child, there's a something that brings forth a satisfaction to see something educated, something learning, something growing, something, because this is an expectation. It should be an expectation of parents. It should be an expectation of us. And I know that when we are discipling people and doing our best to win souls into the kingdom of God, that we should have somewhat the same sense of an expectation. We do have to make sure that we get out of the way with a projection perspective. Well, you know, I learned that 40 years ago. You want to encourage that. You want to feed that. You want to take advantage of that to go on a little more. You know, when you see the child learn the ABCs, and you could be so happy and say, well, you know, now that you've learned that, now we can start understanding phonics. And then you could start taking just the ABC into A, B, C, or whatever. That's Spanish, isn't it? With the, you know, whatever the A sounds like. And taking them to the next progression. But why do we forget the simplistic things of such, of teaching a child ABCs, about when it comes to ministering the gospel and bringing people to life? And then yet we expect everybody to know what we know. And God's been merciful to me for years, been merciful to you for years. And we could analyze ourselves and say, you know, I haven't really been a steward that I should. I haven't really showed this stewardship of the Lord and taken advantage of the time to really grow in the grace and knowledge of God. So really, if we're going to get right down critical, we should be critical on our own selves. But we have a way of deferring that or putting it out and showing and exposing other people's complications or problems, thinking it's going to hide ours. And it's real easy to do. You realize how easy it is to hide behind somebody else's problems? You know, and we get behind them, so to speak, when all the lights are on them because of their failures. It happens many times in many marriages. I remember listening to Brother Evans, and he questioned God, God, why is this way? He goes, he was talking about his years of marriage counseling, and he'd have women come in, and they would say, you know, brother, my husband's an alcoholic. My husband's a dope addict. My husband's a whoremonger. My husband is, and he'd say, well, all I could tell you is you're going to have to get him in my office. I can't help him. You're going to have to ask him if he'll go to marriage counseling with you and get him in here. They'd bring him. He would pray with them, minister to them and pray with them and get them saved. Get them in church, get them walking with the Lord, and the woman would divorce him. He marveled at that. But he would see this thing take place over and over again. He goes like, wow, they come and the man comes and repents of his sins and gets saved. And now they divorce him. And he said he saw this over and over and over. I call them patterns. And I've observed the same exact thing. And in many cases, they divorce and they go back and marry another one just like the one or worse. I've seen it over and over. Watch the pattern over and over and over and over again. They find a place in hiding behind the other person's sin. It's like theirs isn't exposed. And it's like I could hide behind this. And anytime the lights come, the light's going to be directed over to the sinner. Or the one that seems to be the most obvious one. Continual problem. Continual problem. Continual happens. Because then what happens is when the man, or vice versa, the one, when they get the light off them, then the light starts coming on the other. And all of a sudden they don't want to be in the light. They don't want to deal with their iniquities. nor do they want to deal with their problems, nor deal with their complications. But it's all in the Lord. Amen. We got to find ourselves with a true, genuine hunger for the things of God and walk therein. We want to be drawn by the Spirit of God and walk with Him. I want to get down a little ways down in the chapter, but I'm going to just read down there, kind of laying a little foundation of thought, or just get us in the Word of God here tonight. It says, "Now, I, Paul, myself, beseech you, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am based among you, but being absent and bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh." I hope you can perceive what the brother is saying here. Dealing with a minister here just as of late. Very similar situation of what the brother's expressing in his spirit here. Sometimes the expression of the Word of God could not seem very until you've been there, possibly. And sometimes you could bring reproof from heaven, exhortation from heaven, rebuke from heaven. And then the mind of the people are going to say, "The preacher's in the flesh. He don't like me. The preacher just doesn't like me." And they're going to take it to the flesh instead of taking it from the Christ that he spoke about that is among us. Amen. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." You see, the battle isn't with the individual, the brother, the sister, the man. The battle's with the Spirit. It's the principality, the power of the Spirit that has utilized that fleshly vessel. And it would look like you're coming against the flesh, but you're coming against the Spirit, but the Spirit is manifesting in their flesh. Amen? "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." It would have been nice if we could have cut that scripture off at the disobedient part right there. Many times we read part of the word, not all of it. But we can see the disobedience being done away with in our obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. But when you know, obedience is better, so when does sacrifice come? When disobedience comes, then we're going to find ourselves in a sacrificial perspective. Amen? Again, verse 6, it says, "And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." It's going to most definitely do that. "Do ye look on the things after the outward appearance?" Another misunderstood scripture. "If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ." Kind of goes along with the message. Don't know who we are because we don't know who they are. You know, "Well, bless God, look at me." I say, "No, bless God, look at you." Amen. "For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for education, and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed." I love the word. Very similar mind being demonstrated by the very same author over in the third chapter of 2 Corinthians. "For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for education, and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed." But brethren, it does bring destruction. But it depends on how you receive it. You could receive the authority to the grace, or you could reject the authority and bring the destruction. You know, it's according to your faith, and it's according to the way you receive it. Do you realize that? I've said this from the sacred desk. When I came to a place called Bethlehem, it was a strong message, a strong preacher. Brother Chuck hears his messages every day, editing, taking them, and getting them ready to go out on the internet. Every day, so listen to it. Every day. And the thing is it was a strong message. It was a message with a lot of reproof, a lot of rebuke, a lot of exhortation, and a lot of edification. And I remember not being accustomed to that kind of preaching from where I came from and then come into that. And it was strong. But there was something in my spirit that was drawn to it and cleaved to it. But then yet it was still strong. And if you go and sit under an anointed, powerful man of God dealing with all of the spirits that was being dealt with in a place called Little Bethlehem, we deal similar here, same things. If you went there and you perceived and listened through your fleshly intellect, of you as a man, and listened to it as a man, it overwhelmed you. You probably wouldn't make it, or you would stay out of fear, but you'd be full of resentment. You'd be full of all kinds of animosity. You'd be full of a lot of just bitterness in your own heart. And there were people that way. There were people that would finally get away and say, man, I've been set free. Man, I've been liberated. But see, they were never of it, or they never would have left. And if you were of it and you would never leave, then it would deal with you differently. Now, I said all that to say this, that I had to come to a place that instead of resisting the man of God, I gladly received. And I said, you know, if I'm supposed to mortify the deeds of my flesh and not know how, and then the man of God that is skilled and knows how, and he helps me kill myself. He helps me to remove the things in my life that are displeasing to God. Now see, he was an elder. He had been at it for many years. He had fought things that I'd never seen. He had seen things that I'd never seen. He walked in places that I never walked, had experiences that I had never experienced. And he was trying to utilize, by the giving of his life, these things that he had learned, some of the things that he had learned them through suffering. He'd learned many things through suffering. But what I'm saying is, and the brother and would sit in his presence, and many would sit in his presence and resent. And war and struggle. But again, as I say, I've had to learn, saying, wait a minute, this man is helping me. Why would I reject it? Why would I resent it? He is helping me to expose my weaknesses and my failures and my shortcomings and the things that are displeasing with God, that we can get them out of my life. That he could present me with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, people forfeit the fact of really realizing what the minister is going to do and how the presentation that he's going to present. People don't really have an understanding of that. Now, when I came to this place of understanding, saying, now wait a minute, this brother's trying to help me. And when he was taking the sword to the flesh and killing that man, and he said, thank you, sir. Help me get this out of my life. The things that I'm not seeing, thank you for bringing a light to me to really realize what manner of man I really am, for I could get rid of that man and let Christ live. And then when the words, they're bringing forth the life, what you might call the oil and wine, when he started speaking to the facet of, you know, that you pass from death unto life, that you're more than a conqueror, that you can't sin, that your God's touch me nots, and you start saying thank you at the same time. And you see, you start finding one being raised up and strengthened while another one is decreasing and another one's increasing instead of resisting the counsel of God. And we find that it isn't your brother nor your sister or your wife or your husband or whatever. It's usually you are the one that would be the only thing that could resist the power of God. Do you look on the things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letter. I can tell you Brother Pike terrified me many times. He said, I got some men around me that, he said, their spirit melts like a candle. Verse 10. For his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such an one think this, that such as we are in word by letter, when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. Sometimes you can see that one that might look weak and frail with the anointing of the Holy Ghost on them, and you would most definitely see something. There was a brother there at Bethlehem, big stature of a man, very large man, been involved in a lot of things. And one day Brother Pike got in his face looking up at him. And he looked at him, he said, this thought come to mind, well, who does this little white sucker think he is? And he said, about the time that thought come to him, he said he saw something in his eyes. And he said, you don't want to mess with this. You don't want to mess with this. Verse 11 again says, let such a one think this, that such as we are in word by letter, when we are absent, such will be also indeed when we are present. Exhortation to the ministry and to the lay people alike, both. Amen. For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Amen. Was that easy to say, Brother Ed? Amen. No, listen, I'm not reproving him, but I'm saying, I say amen too. But you know, we could say amen and be ever so guilty of this very thing. Amen? Or oh me. I'm going to read it again. It says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of the things without our measure. But according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, measure to reach even unto you. That's a bold statement. Who's he talking to there? Think about the people that were present. Now, you're going to take this brother here, and you know he was reaching for the Jew, correct? I'm going to read verse 13 again. It says, but we will not boast of the things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors. But having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. It's something that I made a statement back there to Brother Chuck right before I walk up and read this passage of Scripture. I made the statement before I read this passage of Scriptures about a man speaking with such a humility, and at the same time, the reversal of it was such an authority at the very same thing. The man's very gifted as an orator, as a speaker, as a writer. I don't have that ability within myself, but I could lean from the same Spirit, the same God, the same anointing, the same thing that breathes the Spirit of the Word within him to breathe this letter of this that were written here. And we got that ability to draw from that. And we should. We need to. Now we find in this exhortation here, we find in this, brethren, something that's speaking to you and I. If I work within the measure that Christ has given me, then I could expect an increase. If I try to go beyond the measure, then I've left the measure of Christ and I went to intellect. And then he departs. Are you listening to me? That's when he departs. Because now it went beyond him and it went to you. You see, if one that commends himself. Now, the thing is I'm tonight in prayer, right here in these altars tonight, and just praying with y'all. We're praying together for service. You know, this is the house of prayer. We shouldn't find it odd to come to the house and pray. We should have enough transparency one with another. We're brothers that we could pray in weakness, demanding strength and calling on strength. Now, brethren, there's a proper way to pray. If I've got an unbeliever with me or somebody seeking this or to break the devil or the yoke of bondage on this life, you may not be praying the way that you would pray in a prayer closet or a prayer life. But then yet, as you and I being brothers, we should be able to pray together with some sort of a transparency, asking God for help, asking for intervention, asking for his mind, his will, his purpose, his plan. And somebody say, well, you know, brother, why are you doing that? You're a man of God. You should be able to. No. That's what we have to do to be a man of God, to be God's servant. We got to get before the Lord and say, look, God, yeah, I could go to this service. I got enough skill or enough ability. I've been, you know, talking to people long enough or preaching or teaching, whatever, that I could get their attention. I could be an orator. I could do this. Maybe not that great a one, but enough that I could hold attention. But then, yeah, what is that? What good is that? So you say, look, God, I don't want to do that. I don't want to come with some preconceived idea. I don't want to think that, you know, that I've got this thing worked out and I know what this brother's weakness is and I know what this one's is and I know what this family's problem is. I know what this one is. And boy, I'll just go deal with that. You see, that's not proper nor right. Because let me tell you something. One spoken word by the Spirit could do more than 10,000 beautiful delivered words by an orator. One spoken word that is quickened by the Spirit of God could go in. One seed could make a forest, brethren. One seed planted in the right soil is